Hello to all the solopreneurs, startup and small business owners. Cheers to you. Those with the courage to set out with an idea and bring it into reality. Maybe very quickly you realize that running a business takes all kinds of skills. Many you have, but maybe some you don't. The Good for Business show is designed to help your business grow by having fun but valuable conversations with the best industry leaders across sales, marketing, content creation, and mindset. So let's get into this week's conversation with your host, Michelle J. Raymond. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Good for Business show, proudly brought to you by Good Trading Co., LinkedIn company pages specialist. And I am super excited today because, fangirl moment, I have Brendan from Master Talk. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited.
Hey, pleasure's mine, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
I'd like you to do a quick introduction so people can get to know you a little bit more. So tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Brendan Kumarasamy. I'm the founder of Master Talk. MasterTalk is a coaching business that helps ambitious executives and entrepreneurs become top 1% communicators in their industry. And I also have a YouTube channel under the same name where I share free information on how to speak and share ideas with the world. And the mission, Michelle, is I think the next Elon Musk is a 7-year-old girl who can't afford me. So that by sharing these videos, it's to help the world get better.
Look, and I was going through your YouTube channel and I was like, there's so much value in there. So for anyone that wants to know anything about not just public speaking, because what you do is more than that. And this is why I picked this particular topic for business owners out there is like, how do you promote your business without bragging? I don't know if it's like a cultural thing, if it's a gender thing, but when I saw that video, it really popped out and I appreciate you coming on the show so we can talk about that a bit more because I want to do my best to stay quiet so you can do all the talking because you have so much knowledge around these kind of things. And I know you're like, oh, Michelle, don't do that. But seriously, when I look in them, what you have this amazing skill of is connecting the dots for people. And so I'd love to have a chat about this. So why is it that you think that people have trouble promoting their own business?
I think that's a fabulous question. And for me, Michelle, the biggest problem that business owners have is that they don't spend enough time asking their core audience questions about their life and just their core psychology. So I'll give you the tip right now, which is what I do, which is simply have dinner with the people you want to serve and ask them questions that most business owners don't think to ask. Questions like, hey, Michelle, if you were to explain my business back to me, how would you explain it? What would you talk about? If you were to change one way about the way I shared the idea or change one thing, what would you change and why? And if you were in my shoes, how would you communicate my ideas differently? Or what's one thing that you would actually add to my offering or what I do that would really help you? It's these questions that most business owners don't ask enough of from their customers.
Yeah, it's getting involved in those conversations. And do you find that is there another set of questions that you would ask these people? That's one great tip. Is there any others that you find actually starts that conversation?
Absolutely. I would say another piece is figuring out what is the value that you can deliver for free for that individual that helps them rapidly gain trust in who you are. I'll give you a great practical example with my business is coaching. And so basically what I'm doing on LinkedIn is I'm asking myself, how do I 10x the generosity and the value than any other coach in my industry and in my specific niche? And what I realized really quickly is coaches just DM people on LinkedIn and give them a free PDF. And I'm just like, this doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, no deal. Let's stop that. If we can do that public service announcement right now, that is not the way to grow a business.
Right, it just doesn't make any sense. So then I asked myself, okay, what is the one thing I could do for the LinkedIn community that, or just brainstorm a list that would just over deliver completely? So one of those is guesting on lives on LinkedIn. It's a great way to add value, show people personality. But the second thing is simply asking them if they want to come to a free training on communication. Why would you hire somebody that you haven't actually seen in action? It's like, No brainer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've seen you're up to what, 50 plus recommendations on your free training course. And I know plenty of people in my community have actually done those. And I myself am looking forward to it next time when the time zones align. Because going above and beyond is definitely the definition of what you offer people for sure. But what I have been most impressed by in listening to any of those conversations that you've had around the place is that you are so laser targeted, focused on your goals. And I just sat back and gone, I need me some of that. Because I think if you've got those goals where you're going and you can get there. And one of the things that you said in this YouTube video was that if you don't have goals up front, how can you ask anybody else for help to get you there? And I thought that was so simple, but so profound at the same time that I was like, yes, you can't have a conversation with anybody, be it a client or a supplier or anybody in your network, if you don't know where you're going. So tell me, how do you set your goals? Are they short term? Are they long term? Like, how do you work those out?
Absolutely. So for me, Michelle, what it always comes down to is making a list of all these different goals, but then going the extra mile, which is the following. Which one of those goals excites you energetically the most? That's one area. The other area is what we call Warren Buffett's focus framework. So I'll give you an example of the story. So Warren Buffett once took a flight. No one really knows if the story is true, by the way, but the story is really helpful.
Let's
So
go with
we'll just go with it.
it.
Warren apparently was in his private jet once, and he asked his pilot, he's, "What do you want to do in life?" And the pilot goes, "Oh, Warren, I'm not really sure. I'm flying this plane for you. Life is great. I have a great family. Life is good." So what Warren has him do is he says, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. Make a list of 20 things that are bucket list items that you absolutely want to do in your life." So the pilot starts getting to work. "Okay, maybe I want to travel to 50 countries around the world. I want to, let's start a YouTube channel. I'm going to start a business." He just writes down 20 things. And then Warren looks at him and he said, "If you could only do three and nothing else happens, what would you circle?" So the pilot circles three out of the 20. And he goes, "Put all your energy and attention on those three things, because chances are you'll run out of life to do the other 17 things." That always stuck with me. So let's just, as we're talking, I know what those three things are, and those three things have always remained the same for me.
And so I'm often thinking, I'm sitting here taking this in myself, going, would I be able to name those three as clearly as you? Absolutely not. So I'm going to go away and take this on myself. Because what I find is I've moved into being a small business owner about 18 months ago. My head is full of so many ideas. There are ideas about where I want the business to go. There are ideas about what's going on today, here, right now. There's also the things that I've got to focus on in my business, which are part of the business, not the fun stuff. I love the LinkedIn. I love helping people with company pages. I love doing LinkedIn lives, but there's a business to run. So there's a whole bunch of things that I don't enjoy. When it comes down to this and making sure that I stay on task, is it something that you would recommend that business owners, are they writing this down? Are they expanding on those three? Like, what's the next step? Okay, so I've got my three goals. I've crossed off my list. I'm lit up and I love it and I'm looking forward to it. What happens next? Because I think having enrolling conversations with other people around you is something for me that I'm thinking, I need some other people on board here, especially being a solopreneur with working with contractors, is that having people around me to really be my cheer squad, keep me accountable. I think for me, that's what I'm thinking, but where do you go with that kind of thing?
So definitely what you touched upon, let me just build on, because you're absolutely right. Accountability is everything, right? We hear it all the time. It's a cliche, proximity is power, but it really is. But the other point that I'll add with me specifically, because I know you have an interest in the way that I do things, is if there's anything in my top 10 have in common, if there's only one thing that separates them, is that they're all ruthless. All of them are absolutely ruthless. So somebody like Billy, right, my co-partner, he's a very nice guy front end, but back end, right, the feedback he gives me isn't something that you should give to kids, right? Let's just put it that way. It's not.
Straight between the eyes. As
Absolutely.
Brenda Miller tells me, I'm the friend that tells you when you've got something and I'm not going to just let you sit at the restaurant with that stuff there. I'm going to give it to you and tell you because I want you to be better. And I want you, she's a real stand for me being better at what I do. And I love that he does that for you too. I can tell because every week when I catch the show, you guys just show up and it's so polished. You see that feedback really. really makes a difference.
And then even after the show's over and we did a great job, Billy goes, okay, these are the three things I didn't like. And he just goes, boom. There's no positive feedback, which I love.
I don't know if I could cope with that. Right. I don't know. I know it would make me better and I'm totally coachable. So I love feedback like that. I don't know if I could just cope with the boom, boom, boom. I need a bit of balance. What did I do good?
You got to pick the right people for you.
Yeah, and I think what I've discovered, I read a book by Janine Garner, and essentially it's about building that community around you of 12 different people who have different functions. Because if you end up with too many cheerleaders, not enough accountability, it falls over because you've just got people going, good job, Michelle, good job. And then that doesn't hold me accountable. And I need to have people in my community to help my business actually grow. So if I've got my three goals, I'm lit up, and now I've got my accountability partners around me, what's next?
Absolutely. I would say what's next besides the accountability, Michelle, is now what you want to do is project yourself 10 years into the future.
Right.
But here's the thing. Most people, they just keep their goals on a paper. Some of them might have a vision board where they have like pictures of what it looks like. I do this. I take this to another extreme. So for me, it's all about, so I'm 25 currently. So what I do is I think about the 35-year-old version of Brendan, and I'm thinking about what decisions is that person making? How is he spending his time? What is he spending his life doing? What does he value? What does he care about? What family is he starting? Like all of those things, I run them in my mind and I look at that individual and I don't just write down the goals. I feel the moment and what it's like to achieve it. I'll give you one of those examples. Like hitting 100,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel is really important to me, not because of the metric, but it's because of the community that helped me get there, or to prove that we could achieve this. But it's not just like in my head. It's not just like it arrives in the mail and I celebrate woohoo. I got this whole crazy thing planned where it's literally like, okay, there's going to be a big celebration. I'm going to have a bow tie. Everyone's going to be in picture.
I love it. I'm going to buy you that bow tie. I am going to get you a good trading code bow tie ready for you to just jump on there. And I know the level of detail that you would have this in your minds. I have heard you speak enough times to know that you really do live those moments. Like they're real for you, that 35-year-old self. And I don't mean to be condescending when I say to you, wow, at 25, you blow me away. Because I look back to myself and just go, man, like I was not in that position. But I know that doesn't come by accident. You're very much, you put in the actions to deliver on these kind of things. So you, I couldn't imagine the number of hours or dollars or time that you've put into personal development. You go and learn from the best. I think that's your skill, is taking the best of everyone around you and going, yep, that works for me. That'll help me achieve my goal. No, that's not for me. And I think it's just this process of keeping the best and throwing away. Is that what it is for you? That's how it occurs to me. But I wondered if that's what actually happens on your side.
You're absolutely correct, Michelle. And it's very humbling. Thank you so much. But yeah, absolutely. I think what I realized at a younger age is the people who write these books, the people who do these podcasts, they do it for a reason. Not just to talk about themselves, but to make sure that the people younger than us don't make the same mistakes. And isn't it so funny that, especially in the context of musicians, which is hilarious, like a musician who's up and coming, who's going to be a big star, sees the musicians they admire. Okay, they become really big, then they get into drugs, they make all these mistakes, and then they disband, then have a redemption show. It's always the same thing. Yet the musician looks at the cycle and goes, let me just go ahead and repeat exactly what...
Look, it is so crazy because when I look at why I wanted to set up my own business, part of that is very much as a give back, so that I want to grow my business so I can have other people work for me and I can mentor them, because there were some key people back in my career that really helped me out and are a standout to make me a better person, not just better at what I was working in. And so having a business for me, that's one of my goals, is to be able to mentor those people. What do you think it is that goes through people's minds before, say, they meet someone at a networking event and we'll be back face to face? So this is really going to go back on steroids for some people. We've had this 18 months, nearly 2 years of being able to hide behind screens. And, you know, we've got some bad habits where people are reaching out with DMs with just PDFs and things like that. So we're going to move back into face to face now. Are there bad habits that come back in with the face to face networking event that you think people could avoid with a couple of tips?
Absolutely. I would say for me, from a principal's perspective, the biggest mistake most people make with networking is they don't 10x on what they already. So for example, Billy as a relationship is worth 100 times more, or I'd even argue 1,000 times more than 99% of my network.
Yeah.
But imagine if I just went to the next person and I just treated everyone at the same level, I would not have gotten the, I guess, the relative amount of success. The easiest thing is make a list of the top 10 most interesting people that you know. And interesting can mean anything to you. Mm. Whether it's celebrity status, doesn't really matter what that is. You just find them interesting. But then introduce those people to each other. And then what you're doing is those all-stars are going to start introducing you to their all-stars. And that's how you build a network.
That's the multiplier effect, right? You've got the power of those things squared. When those people are interacting and it's you all live together. And I think what I'm becoming more aware of over time is that my time is the most precious commodity that I've got. And it's limited, and there is no amount of work, money, or anything else I can do to increase it. So I've got to value that more than anything else. So I love the idea of going to a networking event. And what you've shared there is about having intent, right? It's not just showing up at these things and hoping I happen to meet someone that happens to help my business. You go with a list. And one of the things that I listened, you know, to one of the conversations you and Billy had was you're really clear that sometimes it's about not having quality conversations, spending too much time with one person. It's sometimes you could have more conversations, right? So, but you have a real strategy about attending these events. So can you let the business owners that are listening in know how you attend shows? Because I think going in with this intent is powerful and another step to growing businesses.
Absolutely. And the principle around that, Michelle, is even if someone's really impressive, even if they went to Harvard, they got a million connections, they get everything for you, if you don't like them,
yeah.
And more importantly, they don't like you. Why are you wasting time with them?
Or they're talking about themselves so much. They're not interested in you. Like, they're not going to help you no matter how impressive.
Exactly. Versus, like, I'll give an example. Like, I got Salesforce as a client a few months ago. That wasn't because of a big executive who said, I choose you, Brendan. That wasn't
Although I'm
it.
Sure they did.
Thank you. But that actually wasn't the case. Well, they came after. But my in for that company was an entry-level employee in university who just watched my YouTube videos and said, oh my God, this is great. Let me go and convince them. And it's not hard to, because they just sent the YouTube video. And they go, oh, the YouTube videos are really good. But still, like, the effort was from her. It wasn't from the top executive. It was her to the executive. Then the executive reached out to me and said, hey, this person from our company said you'd be a good fit for this. So what's the lesson? The lesson is, for every quality relationship, and this is the piece that businesses don't get, for every superstar you meet, like Michelle and Billy, you have to go through 99 people who just aren't superstars. And you need to be willing to do that.
And you don't know who those superstars are. And they come in all shapes and sizes. And it's not necessarily by job title or position. It's how much that person is a huge fan and supporter. And they come in all shapes and sizes. And quite often, that's why my strategy on LinkedIn to people is, I would say, connect with everyone. And then if they don't prove value or worth, then I cull, right? I'm super protective of my LinkedIn network. And I actually start going through them and filtering. Out you go, out you go. Because I want my message. I know when I do a post on LinkedIn, it's going out to a small percentage of people as a tester. And if I've got people who aren't adding value or communicating and they ignore it, then my message doesn't go to those people who really need it and want it. So, you know, that's where I become a little more ruthless. I'm not going for a numbers game. I've been on the platform long enough. I should probably have, you know, triple the amount or more of followers. But I keep culling because I'm like, no, we're going this way. It's probably one of the areas where I am pretty laser focused like you. These are the things that I think business owners, I come from a 20-year sales background. So for me, it's about, I never know what way I was going to make it into a company with a new company. So could it be the salesperson? Could it be the receptionist? It could be anybody, right? That's your next door opener into the next opportunity. Yeah. So with that, so we're at this networking event. I come up to the person, they're on my list, and then I go, And a lot of people get stage fright. I think there's some of it where they feel embarrassed to talk about their business. What have you got to say about that? What is that thing that gets in the way of people really upselling and talking about what they're obviously passionate about? You can't just run a business without passion. It's too exhausting, right? You go and work for someone else if you want an easy life. If you run your own business, you're passionate about. What gets in the way when they have conversations?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for most business owners, what gets in the way is lack of interest in the other person. Like when we met, I didn't talk about my business. I just went, hey, Michelle, what do you do? Company pages. That's so cool. Tell me more. And
I don't hear that often.
Right? And I was like, whoa, this is like super like contrarian. Like, so I just kept diving and you just tried asking me questions. I just refused. I was like, no, we're going to focus on.
You really did. That conversation was just me. And I left that conversation really thinking, this guy cares. This guy actually genuinely wants to know what's going on for me. I think that's something that people need to know more about your style on that. So keep telling us some more.
Absolutely. And here's a key point that Rory Vaden talks about that I completely agree with. He says, when you get into a call with somebody, your goal is not to win the sale. Your goal is to win the relationship at any cost. That's the game. That's the game that the smartest people play. Because at the end of the day, if you know the 100 most influential LinkedIn people or people in general, and they all love you, you don't have to go looking that long for clients. And I signed two in 2 days. Like, it doesn't matter. But if you don't focus on the relationship, you focus on the sale, then you don't get invited for the LinkedIn Live. You don't get invited to help people. It's like so simple.
This is the thing, and it's how can you help that other person? So 20 plus year career in sales, super successful on my side, because sales for me is helping people and problem solving. It's those two things. It's never been anything but that. So the more people I help and the more problems I solve, that translates into sales. And my method to my madness on LinkedIn reflects that still. And I think the more that you do that, the more that you show an interest in other people. I know now I've built a network. So when I'm not in a room, there are people promoting my services because I help them. It's reciprocal. We talk about that all the time. It's listening in. How can I help them? So when I'm not in a room, they're talking about me because I can't be everywhere in the world.
Correct.
So is there a gender bias to not being able to talk about your business and being able to have conversations? I've had a few people reach out before the show and have mentioned it's a bit more cultural, like maybe the French or like people from other nations aren't as forthcoming sometimes as potentially my American friends can be pretty like, this is me, like straight in your face. How does that play out for genders and cultures? Do you notice a difference?
I definitely think there is a difference, but discussing those nuances is probably not the point I want to drive. I would say the point I want to drive is the people that you filter are just going to be different, right? Like for me, my style has always been, I never talk about my business ever.
Yeah,
that's more my style where I just focus on the other person. And eventually, if that person wants to reciprocate, they'll become a fan. And if they don't, they were never going to do anything for me anyways. That's the perspective I take on. So whether you live in the UK or France, whether you live in Australia, depending on where you are, what I would recommend all of you do is talk to more people. Figure out at every event you attend, who are the top three, not top 30, top three people where you went, whoa, these three people are absolutely magical. And 10x on those people. Really invest a lot of energy into those people. But if you do that for 50 events, you'll have too many already just using that strategy that's really focused. You already have 150 relationships you got to manage. So it's important to keep that in mind too.
So what makes those three a standout?
So that's a great question. So for me, there's no science. It's not, oh, Michelle is making X number of dollars. For me, that's not the style. For me, it's more like an energetic connection with that person. I'll give an example. Our mutual friend, when I met Juanita, right? So what happened with that? But people need to understand the back end. And the back end, which you never hear about or know, is Billy introduced me to John Esperian. And John Esperian featured me on his Friday thingy, his shout out.
Yep.
And Juanita found out about me, but it never went straight to her. But I met her. We had a 15-minute call booked. It lasted 2 hours.
I was going to say, I know it wasn't 15 minutes.
Right,
and
it was.
This is the power of LinkedIn to grow a business and the relationships that you can build, because you don't know where things come from. So, for instance, currently writing Business Goal with Lynnaire Johnston in New Zealand about company pages. Now, that came about because I commented on somebody's post overseas who, Viatek, who's in Dubai, then, you know, invites me onto his podcast. I go onto the podcast, Lynnaire hears, she then reaches out to me, and now we've written a book. So this is where we're talking about before, you don't know where that opportunity is going to come from on LinkedIn. And so being involved in many conversations and supporting others, so it came about from me commenting. For instance, one of my favorite friends on LinkedIn is Michelle Griffin, so shout out to her. I normally do this. We came about because I was posting a comment that she noticed, and then now she's been one of my biggest supporters in the background. You don't see it. We don't interact very much out front, but in the background, we're on WhatsApp, like, I need help with this. She's a superstar personal branding expert. I do company branding. And the power is actually just finding those magical people who bring out the best. Until Lynnaire reached out, did I think I could write a book? Not a chance. Now that we've, you know, almost finished it, it'll be out in about 4 weeks.
Awesome.
Now I'm just like, literally, I had one of those moments, and I don't have them very often, where I realized I was proud of myself because I'd done something I'd never done before. I'd said yes to something that I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. I just said I was very enthusiastic and I would listen and learn. And so these are the kinds of things that come up, right? These are the opportunities you've got to be ready for. Now, I think it comes back to that point at the very beginning that you made, having those goals in place to know that aligns with what I'm trying to achieve is important, because it's easy to get distracted on LinkedIn. Is that something that you find? Like, how do you manage the distractions?
Oh, simple. It's a bit morbid, but I ask myself a different question when it comes to focus. And the question is, who suffers from your inability to stay, for your inability to do one thing? Right. So for me,
can
I'll
you
give
just
you
say that one more time. So right. I listen one who, more time.
Who suffers from your inability to focus on one thing and only one?
Mm.
And there's different versions of the question, but I'll give you the personal example with me. I didn't start Master Talk for my amazing clients. That's not why I didn't start it as a business when I was 22 at the time. This is like 3 years ago. The reason I started Master Talk was for the 15-year-old girl who couldn't afford me. Like, she doesn't have somebody to look up to on YouTube right now as a thought leader that she can relate to age-wise. So if I don't make the YouTube videos, if I don't focus all of my energy on just being the number one master at this topic, who else will? Who else is going to make those videos to that person? So when we get to that level, well, then you're absolutely strong in the execution. Like, I've written my content years in advance, and I have a whole team who does that for me now. But that doesn't come from saying, oh yeah, I think this YouTube channel will be cool and maybe I'll be famous. And no, like, it's, hey, wait a second, Julia needs me and I'm the only human being in the world who can actually deliver for her, so I better get my things together to be more PR things together and get the ball rolling. So I think people need to understand the cost of not doing it rather than the benefits of doing it as well.
So we're coming to the end, which is sad for me, but I want to leave people with your three best tips on this topic, three actionable strategies that people can actually, as business owners, can take away from this show and implement in their business in the coming weeks, months, future. Because as you said, we're talking to the business owner of 10 years' time. What does that business look like? So what are the three strategies that you could give our listeners? And thank you so much for everything you've added today. It's been amazing. What would you add in?
Of course. So I'll say my top three tips. Number one is ask yourself what clients you currently have that are within your local city and have dinner with them and ask them questions, like some of the ones we asked today. Like, what, how would you explain my idea back to me? Get their video ideas. What do you think they should do next? What you should do next? Get to know your customer better than anyone else and your industry, and you will dominate your industry. Number two, the power of focusing on one thing. You're better off moving 12 inches in one direction versus 1 inch in 12 different directions.
Wow.
And the one thing to help you focus on that dream is to simply ask yourself, who could you be in 10 years? And what's stopping you from being that person? Because 35-year-old Brendan is not focused on 12 different things. He's making $10 million a year. He's coaching Elon Musk on his communication skills.
Love it.
And he's not trying to be someone he's not. He's focused on who he wants to be. And I don't want to mess up that person that I'm going to be. So I'm going to make the right decision short term.
I love it.
And then the third tip is around networking. Make sure that you're triple downing, 10xing even, on the people you already know. I'll give you a quick analogy to close. Let's say you meet somebody new every couple of days.
Yep.
So that means in a year you'll meet 100 people. And let's say you live for 50 more years. So let's say I live until 75. Let's say you live until 85. I gotcha. So let's say that happens. If you do the math really quickly, you only get to meet 5,000 people. So the question is not who should I meet or how should I be interesting, but rather who do I want those 5,000 people to be? And that's a very different conversation that you need to have with yourself.
Sure is. Now, Brendan, you have your Master Talk free courses coming up that people can come in if they want to find out more. Where can they come and find the information? I've been promoting your Master Talk YouTube channel. Like, that is absolutely full of gold, and I want people to go over and, you know, make sure you hit subscribe. But the free courses, tell people about that and where they can find out more information, because I have no doubt that they would like to know more from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the free training is, if you want to get free coaching from me live directly, the website is rockstarcommunicator.com /workshop.
Love it. It has been my absolute pleasure to have you here today. Thank you for letting me steal you away from Billy. I promise that I will give you back, maybe, but it's been so much fun. And my takeaways from this is definitely just start to narrow the focus, I think, is for me. Trying to be everything to everyone is draining and not sustainable. So for me, that's my takeaway. So I really appreciate your time today. So thanks, Brendan, so much. And we will talk soon. Cheers.
Thanks, everyone.
I don't want you to just listen to this episode. I want you to take action to grow your business. So let's connect on LinkedIn and continue the conversation over there. Find me at Michelle J. Raymond, and my company page is Good Trading Co. Cheers.